The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Media Mash,
a roundtable of Cowboys insiders
dropping wisdom
and offering sizzling takes
on the current state of your Dallas Cowboys.
Now your host,
Nui Scruggs.
Thursday, Media Mash, let's ride. John Machota of The Athletic, Rob Phillips, DallasCowboys.com, Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Dog team. Clarence has many things going on in his world tonight. It's Clarence's big night. Go ahead, tell everybody where you're at. I can find you. If you want to go meet Clarence.
And who doesn't want to do that?
Okay. You want to drink with Clarence? You want to drink with Clarence?
I'm a fun guy.
Never said you were.
I'm a fun guy.
You want to smoke with Clarence?
Meet me.
I agree.
Anyway, you do all that. Eat, drink, and smoke with Clarence.
If you're in the DFW area, I do a Thursday Night Live Cowboys Power Happy Hour at Ella B's in Arlington, right close to the stadium. Ella B's in Arlington, and we will have Everson Walls as our guest. And Calvin Watkins of the Dallas Morning News will be signing books, his book. Everson Walls wrote the foreword to his book, so he's actually going to sign it as well.
Okay, so come see Clarence. The catfish.
Hey, be on time.
What was that, Chris?
I didn't get that drop, Chris.
Hey, be on time.
Be on time, yes.
Oh, Parcells, be on time.
We will be on CP time, but we're going to have a good time.
It is funny how often we use different things that Bill Parcells said, but anyway, go on. Quite often.
What's your favorite Parcells quote of all time?
It's got to be inappropriate. It's totally inappropriate. There's one that we use all the time, but it's totally inappropriate. not including those, I would say, man, I don't know.
Who? The favorite ones are the inappropriate ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of one that's...
The one where he offended a whole nation.
Well, there's that.
that's not a favorite.
Anyway, go on.
It's the one that's repeated the most.
Change the subject.
You know, I always like the one where he says, don't tell me about the labor, show me the baby.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
And trying to keep my old house from burning down.
And that one is kind of sexist.
How we doing, guys?
Where's the JG drop coming from?
Right now, he's too fat.
Tell me about the labor, show me the baby. That's kind of a sexist.
Right now, he's too fat.
But you're right. Like, Stephen Jones still, like, moving parts with the roster, that's a Bill thing.
That's a Bill thing.
And they still say the tournament, because we called it the playoffs, and Parcells the one that's called the tournament. Yep. And so the Jones family still calls it the tournament.
When he talked about the ERWs.
Ride, and warm up.
Yep, the guys eat, ride, and warm up who don't play that day. And by the way, let's dive into this here.
They do a lot of eat, ride, and warm up around here. They take practice squad players to New York.
And that's what I was going to say. You know, basically, Mike McCarthy in his press conference today, as he starts talking about guys potentially playing here, Michael Gallup, Jason Peters getting more time, Connor McGovern to start to work his way back, he said there'll be some disappointed players on Sunday, meaning there's going to be some ERWs guys who got on the cowboy hat and shirt and they're watching the game, not playing in it. In your mind, who do you think he was talking about or talking about in terms of players?
Well, if Gallup can go, I think it would be Jalen Tolbert. And that would kind of suck for him because he wasn't active the first 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden he's active. I just don't know how many wide receivers you're going to have up if Michael Gallup can play. So that would probably be the first person I thought of. I guess at safety, if Jayron Kearse can go, that would probably change some things. And then at tight end, if Dalton Schultz can go, I think those are the three spots that I was probably thinking of the most. Am I leaving one out?
Well, left guard.
Connor McGovern could be ready as well this week, too.
Oh, there you go. Will that leave out Farniak?
So is Farniak going from starting to maybe inactive at some
right,
point?
You got we'll that. See. And then you also have...
Man, I feel like I'm drawing a blank here. Like,
no,
I'm
you hit him, that though. That's,
no, it's one other position I was thinking about. Oh, linebacker.
Okay.
You know, Jabril Cox.
Oh, yeah.
And Luke Gifford.
Yeah.
You know, so you have those things you have to play with. And, you know, the thing about it is it's disappointing for the player. It's a good problem to have for the Cowboys. They've talked about how strong they felt the roster was, and we made fun of it at times. We made fun of our guys.
You did.
Yeah.
Well, because every year in camp, they talk about how hard it's going to be to cut down, and sometimes you believe it, sometimes you don't.
Right. I mean, you know, but we've been right here a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's showing now. I think they do have a deep, especially on defense. They have a deep defense.
No,
they do. But they would like to get on the field. Marquise Bell is just not.
Right.
You know.
Right. And but like Tolbert. What are you mad about? Catch the ball.
Right.
Well, when you're a third round pick, you just expect in your mind that as long as I don't get hurt and I'm available, especially on a team that wasn't really deep at wide receiver going in the season, that I'm going to be active. I think you just feel that way.
And when you're a third round pick, we expect you to catch the ball and make some plays and not get passed up by undrafted free agents.
And while I agree with you on that perspective, I feel like anybody within the organization that talks about it, they'll mention that, but they quickly bring up special teams. So there's obviously some disconnect there.
Well, you have to bring up special teams when you're not one of the guys.
Yeah.
But we were sold on draft day and in the days after draft minicamp that he was going to be one of the top producers at receiver off the bat. Wasn't about special teams.
Is that a cover?
Yes, the special teams was a cover.
But remind me of something, though, because did he miss time in training camp with an injury?
No, it was
minicamp. It was in OTAs.
Yeah. It's an excuse.
Yeah, okay, minicamp. I'm just clarifying because that's come up, and he did not miss training time with an injury.
It was at the very start. Remember when James Washington was in the walking boot? Tolbert was on the sidelines doing resistance court. So, yeah, you're talking like
one other thing, though, that this all predates Kevontae Turpin. Because we thought and they thought that he was going to be an option at punt returner. And so that was another place where he was going to have an impact because he was going to probably spell CD or be the punt returner back then, you know, before Turpin came up at training camp at OTAs. And that he didn't, you know, that was his special teams. He was going to do some kick returns. And that's off the table. So, you know, that's part of it. But again, he was supposed to have a bigger impact at receiver.
Hey, you mentioned linebacker real quick. What'd you think of Damone Clark being out there with a helmet on? I mean, he's been out there before, but it looked like he was doing a little bit more than he normally does. I'm not saying he's going to be back right away, but I really think they have a plan for him to play this season.
No, they do have a plan for him to play. And again, that's going to be enough. Once he's ready to go, who do you cut? You know, how do you get him on the field? How do all that works? And that's the best thing about his defense. They're deep. They have, you know, these are good problems to have on defense. You know, he talked about, and we didn't even bring up Terrell Basham. He talked about the defensive line and guys are fighting to get on the field. And once he gets back healthy, you know, who's going to play, you know, one of those rusher positions. So you do have good problems. This defense is deep. With the safety position you talked about, the linebackers, all that stuff is deep. Those are good problems to have. I don't know that the issues on offense and the decisions you're making on offense is because they're deep or because of some other issues, you know, especially at receiver. But the young tight ends, they showed you a lot. They certainly showed us a lot. Now Ferguson, you know, what did they call him? What's the airplane?
I don't know the movie.
I can't even think of the movie. Some movie with
The Rock.
The Rock and Samuel Jackson. They were jumping off a building or whatever else. Basically, they were telling him quit jumping. You know, at the end of the game, Ferguson jumped and landed out of bounds. They're trying to kill the clock.
Skyscraper.
They showed a clip of it in front of the team.
They showed a clip of it in front of the team. Like, dude, stop. Stay on the ground. Quit jumping, okay? Stop it.
They won, so you look past that. But if they lose that game,
yeah,
that's going to be a big play that people look back on as, man, you don't need to be getting out of bounds there. You need to run the clock. So
right. Especially late in the game. But outside of that, he showed us something.
And hit the shot, too. Like, Baldy does his breakdowns on Twitter. You see his pass protection. He's known as kind of more like the Jarwin type guy.
Yeah.
Right.
More of like a down-the-field threat. He's showing something in the blocking, too, which is going to have to be their role with Dalton Schultz here. So.
Look, assistant coaches Lunda Wells and Joe Philbin deserve some credit here the first 3 weeks as they've had a lot of different guys they've had to juggle and get ready to go play. And I don't feel like we can point and say, you know what, offensive line, you were the issue and problem, and tight ends, you're the issue and problem. I think that deserves credit when we talk about this team being 2-1 right now, getting ready to face the Washington Commanders Sunday at AT&T Stadium.
No, that's a big thing. And people, you know, there's something on Twitter about how much time Cooper Rush has had to throw the ball. I mean, you watched that. The Giants game. He's back there. You know, he gets the ball out, but he has time. He's not under duress. Unlike Daniel Jones, who was every time he goes back there, there's somebody in the backfield. And you're talking about an offensive line that has three new starters, and you're talking about a rookie at left tackle, and there are people questioning about Terrence Steele. And for most of the game, certainly we love what Jason Peters did for the second quarter, but most of the game was Fardiak. And nobody was touching Cooper Rush. He's played with a clean pocket. Now, credit to the running game and all the other
stuff.
There
you go. I was going to say, you better bring up that running game. Because that running game's working right now.
The running game is working.
If teams stop that running game, I wonder how clean pockets are going to be after that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt. But that's part of it. They're balanced. They're working hand in hand. But these guys are clean. But again, even with the running game or the pass blocking, let's credit the offensive line.
Yeah.
And that's been big. Tyler Smith, Jason Peters. I mean, Tyler Smith, I'm sorry. He's been the best rookie rookie offensive lineman in the NFL this year. There are a lot of guys, you know, listen, we talk about Evan Neal from Alabama, top 10 pick. He looked like trash.
It was welcome to the NFL that Tank gave him.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it was like he looked like, you know, Leo Collins did against
I also would like to point out that I feel like there are probably more Evan Neals that come out of the draft in the first round than there are Tyron Smiths, Zach Martins, Travis Fredericks, and then possibly what Tyler Smith ends up being. Like, just because you take an offensive lineman in the first round does not mean, oh, well, here we go, 10-year starter, possibly Hall of Fame.
No.
Like,
it is difficult.
The Cowboys have been very successful at that.
And again, we're talking about Tyler Smith. The thing about Tyler Smith, unlike those guys who were all can't-miss prospects coming out of high school, I mean, Tyron Smith was supposed to be that guy.
Right.
USC, you know, Zach Martin, those were, you know, top best of their position coming out. Two-star prospect. Go to Tulsa, you know. And none of us knew Tyler Smith's name before the draft, okay?
You know what it reminds me?
During the football season, wasn't nobody talking about Tyler Smith. They were talking about Evan Neal and all these other guys, potential, you know, NFL top prospects.
And we'll see if he has the career Travis Frederick had, right? But it reminds you of the Frederick pick because it was like, was he a second-round grade? Is he, you know?
But the difference is he was at Wisconsin. He still was a four-year starter.
That's
at a Big
true.
Ten school. And there was a lot of tape on him. He was still considered the best center in the draft. Now, what do you want to take a center that high? Now, he was still considered one of the best centers coming out. Nobody thought that about Tyler Smith during the football season last fall. Right.
You didn't question Travis Frederick's competition level.
That's a good point. You're right. Yeah. And yeah, it was an interesting note by Mike, too. He didn't tell us, but that somebody he knows, he said way before 20s, what pick did it? It was 27 that they got Tyler Smith, that they would have a team would have taken him.
If they didn't take that guy,
they hadn't found their guy there. That's interesting.
Cowboys would have taken a couple of cornerbacks
If Micah wasn't there?
No. Well, if Micah, the Cowboys, you know.
Tyler Smith thing, though, that also fascinates me is I remember right after he was drafted, hearing that there were other coaches that started reaching out to him, Alabama being one of them. Right. So if he was going to play another year of college football, it was not going to be at Tulsa. So if he's at Alabama right now and holding it down, you go into next year's draft, he probably is, you know, the Evan Neal pick or whatever.
Right.
No doubt. But again, good for him. And again, he has not been a problem. I guess we're getting back to what we're trying to say is, you know, this offense and those questions, they're getting back to the run. I talked to Zeke, you know, he said that they wanted to run because of the questions at receiver, because of you got young offensive line, that running game, they wanted, even going back to and everybody thinks they changed the offense. If we go back to Jerry and Mike McCarthy at training camp, they talked about wanting to run more. You know, they didn't get a chance to do it. Even going to the Tampa Bay game, if you remember the Tampa Bay game, we want to run the ball against them. Well, y'all didn't even try to run it last year. But before the game, we want to run the ball against Tampa Bay, even though last year they didn't even try to run because they allegedly couldn't run against Tampa Bay. But that was the game plan. So I don't think it's so much of let's change the game plan because Dak's not in there. This is what they wanted to do in the first place.
But can you blame people, let's say blame fans for being skeptical, blaming us for being skeptical?
Right.
When you go back to where training camp was, how you felt about the offensive line, did you really see an offensive line without Connor Williams, without Lyle Collins, question marks at several positions that, no. They're going to be able to get back to 2016, 2014 game plans where they can just run all the time. I mean, I'm looking at that offensive line going into camp go, yeah, that sounds good on paper, but are the guys going to be able to play up to that? And so far they have been able
to. Right, and I guess the overall point is that because we had questions about them, it would be easier for them to run block than pass block. And so they wanted to make it easier for the offensive line. They had questions of receiver. So the focus was we really want to try to run the ball. We really want to push the run game because we do have those questions. If the young guys are going to do anything well, first off, it's going to be run block more than pass block. And they've shown that.
The Rock movie, Kevin Gray, our friend, just texted me. The Other Guys.
Yeah.
Other Guys.
Yeah.
They're like jumping off the building.
Movie. Yep.
Yeah. I missed that. Let's take a break. When we come back, who starts at left guard? Michael Gallup, are we expecting him to make his debut? We will discuss it with Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Rob Phillips of DallasCowboys.com, and John Machota of The Athletic. I'm Newey Scruggs. This is the Media Mash on DallasCowboys.com radio.
That's not right.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure.
It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite in 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash, Thursday, Cowboys taking on the Washington Commanders. Sunday at Jerry World, a noon game. Carson Wentz said to the Washington media he knows he needs to get rid of the football. So will Carson Wentz get rid of the football as he gets ready to face a Cowboys team that I'll credit Daniel Jones for sneaking out about him at least, by my account, 3, maybe 4 sacks.
Yes, probably yes.
I don't know if Carson Wentz can do that. Judging by what he did against Philadelphia the week
before. He's not a bad runner. He's just not as fast as Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is fast. People don't understand. Daniel Jones is pretty fast.
Well,
my biggest thing with Wentz, I just question his decision making. So if he says he's getting the ball out quick, great, but that could be going to the other team. I mean, any quarterback that you're starting for your third franchise in 3 years, that's not a good thing in a league that wants franchise quarterbacks so badly that they will not let you go. They won't even think of letting you out of the building unless they have known, hey, this is not the answer, let's move on. For this to be your third team already, hey, maybe he has a career game and whatnot, but the players aren't going to say this, but there's no way they aren't looking forward to this game with that defense. There's just no way that they're not looking forward to playing against that front and playing against Carson Wentz.
Every week's different. I mean, he had 300 yards in first two games, and you're like, whoa, Carson Wentz is back. And then he gets sacked 9 times, and it's like,
And some of that was on him. Like, you're talking to people in Washington. Yeah. It wasn't just the offensive line. Those were on him. But, you know, Michael's licking his chops. Let's just be honest. People are making fun. He told us that the teammates, he said the right things. You know, I don't need to get all the sacks as long as everybody else is getting them and it helped the team. We got 5 sacks. So I'm happy. You know, people are, channeling their blocking schemes toward me, so that helps D-Law and everybody else get open. But during the walk-off, they're making fun of me. My teammates are making fun of me. You know, he don't like being made fun of. He's going to go after, try to get back in the sack column. Beware, Carson Wentz.
Okay. I just tweeted out when he spoke to the media about getting the ball out. I'm like, this is year 7, and you're just figuring this thing out here? How is that? I mean, as a quarterback, I mean, these dudes hang out with each other. You haven't gone or studied Tom Brady to see. I mean, that's what that guy does. And he's lasted in the league 45 years and won a couple Super Bowls doing it. Like, dude, this is what the best
Cooper Rush is doing it.
Let's be honest. Cooper Rush ain't facing the Cowboys defense.
No, I know. But it's the mentality.
But it's easier said than done. If nobody's open, you just can't get the ball out. And if You know, you look at some of those plays against Cincinnati when Michael just was giving a free rein to the quarterback. It's hard to get the ball out.
How many times do you watch Tom Brady just throw it right there to lineman's knees? I mean, the guy's not taking it.
To do that though. You know,
how many they get on Brady? They got three, four against Brady.
They have 13 total. They've
Micah
had,
they had two.
Micah had two. They've had 11 the last two games.
I thought someone else got one against Brady. It wasn't just Michael.
Was it Armstrong?
Yeah, Armstrong may have got something. I'm just saying though that this Cowboys pass rush. You can say I want to get it out, but you know we talked to Mike McCarthy the other day and he said this may be the most depth he's ever had as a pass rush, and it's not just Michael. D. Law looks like D. Law again. Certainly he's on the board with those three sacks. Again, Dorrance Armstrong, those guys are getting after the quarterback. Okay. And then you add in the blitzing that the Cowboys are doing with their linebackers, the other two linebackers, they and then blitzing on the safety is not just the front four. I mean, they're doing other things to get guys home in the backfield. Donovan Wilson had a sack the other day, almost took the boy's neck off.
There would be other years in the past where Sam Williams is a second-round pick and they need him to play 40, 50 snaps, and he's having a hard time getting on the field. So I think that speaks to the depth.
The best thing Washington's got going for it on offense, they do have some pretty good skill players. You know, Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel. I mean, if they can get the ball to those guys, then maybe they have some success there. But I just look at Joe Burrow, better quarterback, his weapons, even more talented, and they weren't able to have that much success at AT&T Stadium against this defense.
So let me ask this question. I don't know if you guys if this has been brought up at all this week in things you're covering or talking to people, because I know folks from Washington always call you and get your thoughts on things. Is Ron Rivera overrated as a head coach?
Yep.
And I think it all depends on where you had him rated. Like, do I think that he deserves to be an NFL coach? Is he good enough to be an NFL head coach? Yes. Do I think he's one of the top 10 NFL coaches? No. I think he's probably in the bottom half of the league, but I think you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, he lived on Cam Newton and those guys for a long time at Cam when he was MVP Cam. You know, it took him to the Super Bowl. But you look what he's done in Washington, and I think that he was the right guy for Washington because he was respectable. Everything going around, and people respected his name, and he gave the organization some credibility when you had all the stuff flying around with the owner and everything else. And,
right.
And certainly last year, and, you know, what he went through with the cancer, and so people respected him. And so, but it's year three. They've shown no improvement at all.
Well, I don't – they need a quarterback. He's just like any coach. They had Heineke, and Heineke was gutsy.
He's
got
basically
some games,
their GM.
But they, like John said, like you're just trying to find a guy who you can rely on and give you a chance to win every week. And they're hopeful that that's Carson Wentz. But that wasn't the case in week three. And if you're not going to protect him, then, it very well could be more of the same.
I just see so many similarities between Washington and New York. Like for several years now, it's nothing about either of those teams really scares you. The way Washington was drafting on the defensive line, if they're completely healthy with, you know, Chase Young is out there with that group, that can scare you. Yeah, they can win games with
what
that.
What quarterback could they have taken instead of Chase Young?
They could have taken Justin Herbert or Tua Tagovailoa.
Right. I mean, so, they could have answered the quarterback position.
But I'm saying you go back to 2012, like there was when everything was working with like Robert Griffin, there was stuff about them that scared you. I can give you a perfect example and stay in the exact division. There's stuff that's going on in Philadelphia that if you're a Cowboys fan, you should be concerned about. When's the last time that you've actually felt that way about the Giants or Washington? Both of them have been down for so long. Because I was thinking about this day when we were over by Zeke, and Zeke was asked about, you know, who's your biggest rival right now? And he said all the division teams, which is what you have to say.
Right.
But it's the Eagles, and it's not even close.
Especially this year because Philly looks so good.
When we talked about this on the Players Lounge podcast, and when I asked him that, I was hoping to get one. But a word that my finance professor kept using is depends. For the Cowboys, who's your rival? Depends.
Mm-hmm.
It does depend on who's good. When he and I were growing up, Washington was a good team.
No.
Joe Gibbs was coaching. So it was there, and it wasn't the Giants until, here's Parcells, and so they're good. Or Joe. And then when Philadelphia had some good years, it was – so it all always depends for the Cowboys. Yeah. And right now Washington's not there because there, who they are. The Giants aren't there. You beat them 9 out of the last 10 times. So it's Philadelphia right now. So right now here on In the Queue. But up there, you already saw the tweet. Commanders, hey, Dallas week. And I'm laughing. I got to do a radio hit tomorrow. My boy with NBC Washington. I'm like, come on, man. Well, you know what week it is here.
Well, come on. You're also talking about the team that, you know, the Cowboys bring the benches. So now they got to come to an indoor stadium and bring those benches. I mean, just stuff like you look at them. They're just, I don't know. I don't understand how anybody would, and now I say this, they'll probably win on Sunday, but I just don't look at Washington as somebody that you should fear.
No,
just,
they shouldn't fear them.
One of the worst
but
teams in the NFL.
But you have to respect them because this is their Super Bowl, and you're their biggest rival.
Okay? They care.
And let's be honest.
You think the players really can think that there's a rivalry between Washington and Dallas? The players in Washington right now? Come on.
No, they do.
The fans do, but it's built on the
fever in the city.
Yeah.
And it's out there. They talk about that. I was in
John Riggins ain't there anymore, man. I'm sorry. The players just don't. They're not getting it. It's too much turnover, man.
The radio,
they're not sitting there living on that.
That's all they talk about.
And they're probably not even listening to that.
Okay, I'm just telling you. There's fervor in the city. The coaches, the organization, they talk about it. It's important to them. And it means something to them. It gives them some legitimacy, you know. Seeing that star beating the Cowboys, it's still something that they talk about.
I think they will be happy with any win against any team they can get. I don't think Dallas ratcheted it up.
Their owner lives for this, and it was
Do you think that they care about the owner? Do you think the players on the team really care about him?
Darren Hayes, our frat brother Darren Hayes, he had on, I can't remember, I don't know the dude's name, but the guy for the team from Washington, he was like, hey, it's our rival, and we need payback, you know, for what happened.
I was listening to radio.
I'll fire it up right now. I can't wait for Sunday.
I was listening to radio after the game, because I was in D.C. this weekend, and Doc Walker.
No, yeah. Well,
it's Cowboy Week. It's Dallas Week. I don't care what happened with Philadelphia. They were already talking about Dallas Week.
That I absolutely believe. But
that still fosters an environment that's not here. As I was just comparing it to no one radio, nobody TV, no newspaper is talking about that Washington Week.
None of these guys even know that a newspaper exists.
Go ahead, compare it to Texas and Texas A&M. Go ahead. I know you.
It's Texas Tech. It's Lubbock.
All week.
Texas was a 5-7 team last year. Okay, yeah. and they stormed the field.
They went out there, sold out the stadium. Stadium was sold out for years. Texas got t-shirts. Everybody ready.
It's their Super Bowl, and so that's how other teams feel about the Cowboys. And it's not even just in the division. You go any city, it's Cowboy Week. You know, the Cowboys, whether they've won or not, they still, you know, people still want to beat them.
Who you're talking about, though, don't put on the helmets on Sunday. That's all I'm saying. They're not going to matter.
I'm telling you, people.
It's not the players. No, they don't.
We'll agree to disagree, but players care, and they know Dallas. They care about the star. Yes, they do care.
I don't think they care that much more.
They care because they know the Cowboys.
It's not going to be that big of a noon kickoff.
It is still getting Fox's number one team.
Wow,
you know,
great.
It's not. It's going to most of the country.
Antonio Gibson was like, "Oh my God, hey, did you see this? We're in Fox's number one." Okay. We're in the number one game?
Antonio Gibson and all his friends and family who probably got some Cowboy fans there,
right.
they care about this game.
By the way, they're wearing their black uniforms.
Mm. Wearing it black.
They hadn't broken out the commando black uniform. So it's coming to town this week. I'll send you a couple of clips on checking the Twitter.
They're wearing their black uniforms in Dallas on the road.
Yeah, for the players. That's okay.
On the road for a reason. The organization are breaking out their black uniforms for this game for a reason because it's Dallas week in Washington.
Man, that Cowboys locker room is probably shook right now.
It's not the Cowboy locker room. We're talking about with them.
It is a thing in the city.
We're talking about them. It's them. The Cowboys have to have their head on the swivel. That's what I'm saying, because you go out there and going through the motion like it's just another game and this team is playing lights out, you know, you could get shot.
You could beat the Longhorns.
Exactly.
So don't do that.
I'm not playing. I can run my mouth. The players shouldn't be saying what I'm saying, but, I mean, my God, how would you not feel that way? When's the last time that Washington is really worried about Washington? When's the last time where you're really like, damn, Washington's
got squad? Funny things happen.
I'm asking you. You've covered the team
happen.
Forever.
I don't worry about them, but I know funny things.
I'm not saying worry. I'm saying when you look at it and you're like, damn, they got a squad.
No, I don't.
I haven't been like that since Robert Griffin.
I don't think they have a squad, but I do know, especially up there, I've seen squirrely things happen with this Cowboys team.
You've seen things happen like what? Like the water just falling out from the top of the stands and stands collapsing. Yeah, I've seen some squirrely things up there too.
On the field.
Hot dogs in the press box.
On the field.
I stopped
on the
going
field.
To that game. Hey.
Just like when in 2018 when they lost before the Amari Cooper trade, Cowboys should have won that game.
Yeah.
You know, Your snapper never has a bad snap. Okay.
Yeah. LP, snap infraction. Santana Moss going deep in 05.
I'm just seeing some squirty things.
And I agree with you. But honestly, the way I feel about this is it's more about that's the NFL today. Nobody should be sleeping on anybody in the NFL.
Colt
There's
McCoy.
So much parity.
I mean, it's just some squirrel. No, it just Dallas and Washington squirrel things
is?
Out.
This is Pac-Man Jones. It's the Rams, dude.
It's
the Rams, dude.
I think it's so funny. I think it's so entertaining to me how much in just this segment you guys have mentioned like these college rivalries. They're nothing like college rivalries. It should never be compared. Okay. Never.
All right, let's take a break. We still need to talk about the left guard spot. Who's playing there? And Michael Gallup. Let's dive into it next. John Machota, Rob Phillips, Clarence Hill. I'm Newey Scruggs. This is the Media Mash. Let's go.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Little Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash, Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star Telegram. You can drink and smoke and eat with Clarence tonight at Ella B's, as he'll have Everson Walls there and Calvin Hills.
Calvin Watkins. From Dallas Morning News.
Yes. He'll be there, but I'm sure you're going to get Calvin Hill for a show, too.
I haven't seen him. He's been back in a while, you know.
He went through some things, right.
But he hasn't been back in a while. I'd love to get Calvin Hill.
Yes. Rob Phillips, DallasCowboys.com. Mr. Positive here. We got John Machota of The Athletic.
He's just not excited for this week. It's supposed to be a rivalry week.
Hey, man. It's all good.
Yeah, you think I'm not excited for this? Wait till it comes up when they go to Washington. Because that's by far least enjoyable trip on the schedule every year.
You're not going to go up there early and cover that, just the fever in the city, as Clarence put it?
No, I'm going to miss out on that. Sorry.
January 8th?
Man.
You think that's the worst? I think the worst trip I think it's,
yeah, I don't mean the city. The city's obviously awesome. I'm talking about the
stadiums, the worst stadiums.
Yeah, the whole game day operation, the going to it, the way everything's set up. It's the worst, and I will not accept anything else.
That is the I stopped going.
It's like not even trying.
Hey, Donnie, man, you got that trip. I give that one away now.
Yes.
That's the one place where I go full Jory Epstein and I bring my own food. Literally, man. You don't eat there? After my guy Tony Wiley left,
there is no effort there, and they don't even care
they
about you.
They have Johnny Rockets downstairs, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You can go but again, downstairs. Yeah.
That's how desperate it is, man. He's like, they're not a sponsor, are they?
I don't know. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's a good point. I don't know.
No, you know what? I just bring it.
Okay.
Just go ahead and bring it. It is what it is. So, left guard, who do we expect to start on Sunday? Three options for head coach Mike McCarthy.
And I think it's time to go with Jason Peters. I think you just put Jason Peters out there the entire time and just let him go. The only way that doesn't happen is if they think his conditioning isn't quite where they want it to be. But I don't know. What I saw Monday night, that's enough for me.
I think we see more of Jason Peters. I don't think we get 70 plays of Jason Peters. Like, I think you get somewhere between 14 and 70, and maybe it's Connor. If Connor McGovern's back, maybe he's the one rotating with.
There you go.
I talked to Stephen Jones a little bit before practice today, and he said the issue with Jason is conditioning. You know, they want to get more, and that's why they only had 14 snaps, but it's just conditioning. They love everything he does, and certainly Tyler Smith has talked glowingly. Everybody talks glowingly how he helped them, and so that's a twosome that the Cowboys are excited about getting on the field. But it just, at this point, how long can he play?
It's when the check engine light go on, right?
Right. Yeah, you know, he's going to give you some snaps, but how long can he go? And they want to be smart about it because, again, like with all of them, just like with Gallup and Dak, this is a long season. They want him for the long haul. And so, you know, you don't really have to – the urgency, because you've done so well, you played so well, and again, you can say what you want. Yes, Jason Peters played well, but Farniak was not a minus player in the second half, you know, against the Giants. You know, they still were able to move the ball and certainly went down the field and scored two clutch touchdowns with Farniak on the field. So the urgency of just pushing him out there and just giving full load is not there yet. And so you can be patient. And let this thing develop and grow, which is the good news. Now you got, you know, the great option of Connor McGovern, Peters, and Farnett, which one you go with. So these are good problems to have, but you know Peters is in your back pocket, that there's going to be a time when you're going to have the full load of Peters and Tyler Smith on that left side road grading.
Are you just writing off Tyron Smith too? We saw him in the locker room the other day.
We did see him in the locker room the other day. Who's not back until December?
That's a whole, another conversation.
Again, another good problem to have. You know, like,
Jerry just mentions about, you know, all the guys that they have coming in the future and stuff like that. And I know that.
I remember when Jerry was driven by Tony Romo leading the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, you know, in week 17 when Dak Prescott was 13-3. I mean, Jerry's going to continue to do that.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
who's inactive if all three are available?
If all three, you're talking about all three of those guards?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is Farniak is your backup center.
Yeah. I think
McGovern can be your backup center, too. And I'm thinking
he took snap. That's why he took snap there in practice. Yeah. You know, that's what was crazy about when Tyler Smith wasn't beating him out, you were still trying McGovern out at center, you know, trying to follow his position flex. But, I mean, why do we care? Let's care about who's starting. I want to see Jason Peters start. That's what we care about.
Okay, but if we're saying the check engine light is going
to
go on.
No, you're talking about this week? I thought you meant down the road.
No, I'm talking about this week. Who's right now of the options we're talking about?
I think
here,
they give Connor McGovern another week.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards that too.
You know, Stephen brought up Connor McGovern probably coming back this week, so we'll see. But you know, again, they could give him another week. Again, and I guess my larger point is when all three of them are healthy and ready to go, that's when you want to know who's inactive and how do you do the position, because Farniak is your backup center.
Okay. All right. So, Gallup. Michael Gallup. Do we expect Gallup to play in this game? We'll start with you, Mr. Machado.
I do. I would be surprised if he didn't. I thought he was going to play last week. It sounds like a couple days leading up to it, he didn't feel completely confident in the knee, even though he made some, quote, Michael Gallup-esque plays in practice. Yeah. So, I don't know, CeeDee Lamb today I think was probably the most convincing for me. He really sounded like what he's seen from Michael Gallup this week in practice, that he thinks he's ready to go. And the being back home and all that, I just think that lines up perfectly for him. You know, Michael Gallup didn't want to go on PUP. And if he did, then he was going to miss those first four games. So This is a game that he wanted to be ready for. So I think that we'll see him out there. With that being said, I don't think it will be, you know, you're going to play every snap. I think it will be in passing situations, red zone, things like that.
I would lean toward yes, too. He said he'd need a couple more reps when he talked to the media yesterday. They weren't in pads today, though, right?
No.
And that was one point he made was I've only had two padded practices. So he's not going to get another padded practice before this game. But, yeah, I would think that he's out there.
You know, it's funny. Nobody's tackling him in practice anyway.
No, but I'm not saying thud it up a little bit and just kind of feel it somewhere.
Ain't nobody thudding him up. You know what I'm saying? They're not thudding the receivers up in practice. Even when the padded practice, even when we're going for nobody's thudding the receivers. They're not
just
tackling the receivers to the ground.
Be in pads.
I agree. Kinda,
you know.
But we expect him to play. Right. You know, we certainly expect him to play. And you know, Stephen Jones, again, expects him to play. And the way CD talked, they expect him to play. And he needed that extra week. And he needed an extra week for his confidence.
All right. Give me something you found in the locker room, a locker room nugget, when you were in there, Rob Phillips.
CD, or not CD. Zeke continuing to kind of mentioned commit to the run.
Yes.
Let's keep establishing the run. Let's keep doing. And he's right. And he doesn't seem to care about carry splits and all that. I think it was 15 for him, 13 for Tony Pollard. He doesn't seem to care. It's actually what Mike McCarthy said in training camp last year. No more 300 carry seasons for him. Just get him to the season, through the season to January. And he seems fine with that.
Well, off the field, I've learned that Jordan Lewis says he's the best basketball player on the team. Then I asked CD, and he said he's the best basketball player on the team. Because they're playing the garbage basket basketball in there.
Well, J-Ron seems pretty confident.
And they all think they're the best basketball player. CD said he was, you know, he thought basketball was going to be his career until his dad told him, you know, you probably have a bigger upside in football. Because I was a 6'2 guard. I couldn't guard Steph Curry, but, you know, I could have been Colin Sexton with a jump shot. That's what CD told me, you know.
You know who else said they're a great basketball player? Sam Williams came out and told us how good.
Everybody's a great basketball player. So, yeah, he said, I could have been Colin Sexton. I said, you know, okay, CD.
You know what would be interesting? Because, you know, Romo was a good basketball player. Yeah. Tony Romo, All-State at Wisconsin. I wonder if Romo could take some. Like, hey, guys, I'm going out there, see what you got on Romo.
That's cool, Romo.
You sure?
That's cool.
Okay. School. So negative.
School Romo. What you got? I had some more stuff, though.
Oh, okay. What else you got?
Tyler Smith just continues to talk about what Peters does for him and how Peters gives him tips. Even, you know, when they the famous play, you know, in the game when they did the 3rd and 12 and they ran the ball and Peters, you know, was telling, hey, look for this. You know, I think we love Tyrus Smith and what he's done for the Cowboys, 8 Pro Bowls, but as far as a mentor and teacher, Jason Peters has been the best signing they've had because I think he teaches and talks. Tyron don't talk.
Oh, he doesn't talk to us.
He don't teach and talk to them like that either. No one. We've been here since. No one has said. When you listen to Tyler talk about it in detail, how Peters is always in his ear. He's telling the tips. It's not even close to that.
I asked Tyler yesterday, give me an example, and he said beyond the X's and O's stuff, it was little stuff like tape your fingers up.
Right,
because
I mean, it's everything.
You don't want to mess your fingers up over 17.
I mean, he's always in his ear, always talking to him, and that's something that you can't measure. The Cowboys didn't know. They knew he was a Hall of Fame left tackle, but they didn't know the impact he was having on all these guys, not just Tyler, but all the young guys, more than anybody, even the veterans they've had around here. We love Zach, and we love Tyron and what they've done, but the teaching and the mentoring that Jason Peters is bringing to this team can't be measured.
You can get more of this exclusive content. Clarence has more nuggets as you eat, drink, and smoke with him tonight at LMB's.
In Arlington. Yes, sir.
In Arlington. Machota, what'd you pull out of there?
So when Cooper Rush is standing in front of us with the cameras on and all that, it's just not his favorite thing, you can tell. But so when that was over, a few of us walked over with him and asked him a few more questions about other things. And you could just see how we were seeing more of what the Cooper Rush probably is around the team, a lot more relaxed than that. And I thought it was interesting. He mentioned this, how he always writes down on his notebook, decisiveness and conviction. And he said that because if you do that at the quarterback position and you just trust your instincts, you're usually right. It says when quarterbacks get in trouble and when they struggle is when they start second-guessing themselves. And I think that's interesting from him, his perspective, because I think that's one of the best things that he's done since he's been their starter, is that there isn't a lot of, you know, where he doesn't look like he's sure of himself. He doesn't necessarily make all of the biggest plays, but it seems like every time he has the ball, he knows where he needs to go with it, and that's enough for this team right now. The other thing I wanted to add is on Chill's point. So you know, I'd heard that Jason Peters was going to play at least a little bit in the game on Monday night. So for several of those first few series, I had my binoculars on their bench to try and see, hey, when is he going to sit down? Because usually in between series, the guys that are sitting down are going to be the next five that are out there. And Chill's absolutely right. And I make the analogy, I compare it to basketball, where, you know, on defense, everybody doesn't want to talk. And a lot of times if you talk on defense, you're looked at as kind of, oh, look at this nerd talking. Like, we don't need to be doing that. But when you have somebody like that, it really does just the communication make everything go a lot smoother. And I will say Jason Peters, the entire time before he was going in, everybody, it doesn't matter if it was Tyler Smith, Farniak, whoever, constantly telling them things. Like, just looks like a veteran that's been on the team for a lot longer than a couple months.
The other thing about him playing left guard, and I thought initially it would be left tackle and you just move Tyler Smith back inside. Tyler Smith's made an easy decision for them because I think it's 117 snaps he's had at left tackle, one sack allowed. He's leave him there, let him keep developing. But not only helping Tyler, but you putting him in the middle of two young guys. You're helping Tyler Biotis, too, by having Jason Peters right next to him for whenever he's going to be the full-time guy. To me, it looks like a no-brainer now, you know, that you put a nine-time Pro Bowler right there, and then you have Zach Martin on the other side, too. It's got a chance to really work out well for this team.
This will not be a Jackie Smith signing.
Okay.
You remember Jackie Smith?
Yes, sir.
The rival with the Cardinals who came to the Cowboys Super Bowl and broke their hearts by letting them down. This is a guy that's, you know, I got an alarm going on.
I thought we were being played out.
This is a former rival who's coming in and just sowing into these young guys. It's a great pick.
Who wins?
Cowboys. This, I got them 24-13.
Cowboys 24-13. That sounds great.
And they haven't scored 24 points all year, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go 20-14, Cowboys.
This defense going to give up two touchdowns in one game?
Who you got, Nui?
Two!
Cowboys. Carson Wentz holds on to the ball too much. And you know, Daniel Jones was quick enough to get away last week. This guy's not getting away. He is who he is.
That's a rivalry game, man. He's going to want this one.
Ah!
You know, and not to him. That dude's on his own program.
He's on his own program. That's a good way to put it.
Program. That's a different dude right there, man. I mean, just think about how far they were trying to get Jimmy G. I guess we'll take this guy. Poor Washington fans.
They should have drafted Herbert.
You think Haneke plays in this game? Maybe by the second half, you think he's in there? Or you think they go Carson Wentz the whole time?
They're going to go with Carson. They gave up draft picks. They're going to try and make sure they look right here and all that. So, all right, we got to go because Kelsey Charles wants to come in here, get ready to do her show. So we need to let her do her thing. John Machota, The Athletic, make sure you're reading him. Rob Phillips, DallasCowboys.com, make sure you're reading him. Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star Telegram, make sure you're reading him. And if you want to drink, eat, smoke with Clarence, you can at LA's.
And listen, get Cowboys Talk with Everson Walls, Cowboys legend, Ring of Honor.
And?
Grambling legend.
And
the great Calvin Watkins.
Okay, look at me. But I'm your best friend. That's what I do for you, frat brother. That's been Media Mash. We will talk to you next Tuesday, okay? That's our next show, Tuesday, right here on DallasCowboys.com Radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!